tonight's speaker, Amy G. from La Mesa.
Hi, everyone. I'm Amy, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, John, for asking me to come here. And thank you to my friends who came to support me. It feels weird being up here in front of all these people. I don't usually speak in big crowds like this. But I want to say happy birthday to these beautiful women. I just can't even imagine. I hope I have that kind of wisdom to stand up here and give the crowd when I have that much time. I have just turned 9, so my thank you. My sobriety anniversary is April 4th, 2017. And I want to welcome the newcomers. Only a few of you came up, but I too came on a court slip. I was lovingly urged to come here from the judge and bring my court slip. And I thought these two ladies were from the court to make sure that I wasn't cheating, you know, so I didn't talk to them. But I am, you know, just here to tell you my experience, strength, and hope, what happened, what I was like, and what I do today to keep my sobriety. So I'll just say, coming out of the gate, I, you know, felt kind of like everybody else did, right? You don't fit in, you don't belong. I didn't think anyone liked me. I just lived in my head and just totally felt a part of. When I got into junior high, which you guys don't call it here that, so seventh grade, I was invited to a party, and I was pretty much a blackout drinker from the start. Back then, we just went to someone's house and stole a little bit of every, you know, all the alcohol, and you called it a suicide, and you just drank. And I have little bit of glimpses of things that happened, but I do remember Monday morning at school, everyone looking at me and whispering. I know I did inappropriate things. I know I made a fool of myself. I have glimpses of what happened, and they aren't pretty. And I just remember feeling, you know, embarrassed and shamed and all of those things. But that didn't stop me. I loved it. And I couldn't drink all the time because I was 13. But anytime I went to a party, I drank. And I never drank. I drank to get wasted. That was the goal, to get wasted. And I came from a household where alcohol was always around. My parents were divorced when I was really young. And at my dad's house, there was always a drink. My mom's house, I don't recall seeing her at home without a glass of wine in her hand. You know, and my stepdad only had one drink, but it was a big gulp filled with vodka and a little bit of squirt. But he just had one. But growing up, it was so normal to watch, you know, my mom come through the door, go straight to the fridge, embarrassing, but yes, do the little squirt for the box of wine for Anzia, fill the glass, go into the bathroom, you know, have her glass of wine and, you know, get ready to be at the house for the night, you know, and that was just the routine. And I was always taught medicine goes better with a glass of wine. Everything goes better with a glass of wine. And even though I was drinking and getting drunk at parties, she was really cool and didn't really say much about it. Just kind of let it slide. You know, I would come home drunk. I was starting to get high a lot, and I'd come home high. And as long as I was home on time, they never really said anything. I kind of grew up in a house where it was like, go away. It's Friday night. Why the hell are you home? You know, we're having lobster and steak, and you're not invited, you know? And as long as I was gone and I came home on time, they really didn't care what I did. And I had free rein. So that was just kind of the way I drank. I got into a little bit of trouble, but I never got in too much trouble, you know? Eventually, I ended up going to college, and I found more alcohol, boys for the first time, and weed. And I didn't really make it to school very much. And I ended up dropping out, getting a full-time job, and then still drinking all the time. Ended up getting a job as hostess. Yeah, hostess like this. I stood in front of all the time. And what do you do after work? You just go get drunk with everyone, you know? So that was my daily routine. I eventually met someone and got married. I guess when things really started to happen is I wasn't really happy in the marriage, and I was drinking more and more and more. And then my mom got sick. She got cancer, and it was terminal, and she had about less than a year to live, right? So I ended up moving in with her, and watching that, I was 27, watching that and really just being angry that this was happening to her, and I was drinking round the clock. What else would I do? And my sister, everybody there was just drinking. All we did was drink, and my mom was sick. And I left my husband for a long time to stay with her. And I really, that's where my, I guess my anger with God happened. I turned my back because I was in so much pain, and I hated him because why would you do this to me? Why would you ruin my life? I'm like 27 years old, and you're like ruining my life because... I don't have enough time to say, but she was my best friend. We eventually were drinking buddies. We hung out, we drank at the kitchen table, and we bonded, and we were really close. She called me her mini-me, you know? And right before she passed away, I told God, you know, when she dies, take me too. I don't want to live without her. And I was there with her when she took her last breath, and I was still alive, and I was pissed. You know, I was just pissed. I didn't want to be here anymore. And that was just when I turned my back on God. I hated God. So fast forward, I end up getting pregnant, but then I'm not in a great marriage. And I really start to drink, you know. I end up leaving him when my son was 8 months, and I was alone now with a baby half the time. And I was... just not in a good place. And I was drinking constantly. And when I say constantly, I mean, he would wake up and I would kind of barricade him by the bed because I was so hungover, I couldn't get up to take care of him. And I would just put toys and hope that he was okay and go back to sleep because I just couldn't get up by then, you know? I left him once in the crib to go get wine and came back and had not had my keys, you know? So I'm like, trying to break into my house with my baby, and I eventually had to call my dad, and, you know, I'm outside, my kid's in a crib. And he was pissed. I'll just say he was pissed. But he was also a heavy drinker, so I think he might have understood, I don't know, but it just progressed like that. But nobody really, other than, you know, I didn't do it outside to anybody. I was definitely an isolated drinker. I didn't like to go out because I had anxiety because I wasn't going to be able to have enough booze. I wasn't going to be able to drink as much as I wanted. So if I did go out, I would stay like maybe an hour and have like two drinks because I could control my drinking for a couple hours because I knew that I was going to go to the store and buy the big bottle. And then I could go home and drink the way I wanted to, and nobody could say anything to me. So my son starts getting a little older, and I'm still leaving the house because I would swear that I'm going to come home from work, and tonight I'm only going to drink one bottle, you know? And to me, that wasn't a lot. One bottle's nothing. That's like two big glasses of wine, you know? And by the... No, seriously, that was nothing. And so... So what would happen is I would get home and I would just be, you know, I drink the wine and I would start drinking, and then the wine would get down to like this and the panic would start because I'm not where I want to be. And I'm almost done with the wine and it's almost 10 o'clock. The liquor store is almost closed up the street. And, you know, can I sneak out of the house without him knowing? And I would. And many times I would come back. Thankfully, I made it back, and he would be crying on the stoop of the house, like, where did you go, you know? And he knew by then I was drinking, you know, because he was like, gosh, Mom, you're so funny at night. You start talking so funny, and then you kind of like, you're so tired, you just like fall asleep on the couch, you know? So he started putting things together. And we were at a doctor's office one day and waiting for the doctor, and they have those, you know, like a big poster there, and it's like a woman, and there's, you know, her body, and there's a glass of wine, and it's saying something about alcoholism. And he was looking at that and looking at me and looking at that and looking at me. And he was like, it says that it's not good to drink, you know? And I'm like, what do we say? You'd drink too if you had, you know, if you had to do everything that I had to do, you know? And I was not a good mother. I thought I was a good mother, but I thought it was fun. You know, I was like the mom that would just get in the car, and I always had the cooler in the trunk with the wine, with the ice. I always had everything I needed. Pick up his friends and let's have my drink ready and just drive everybody drunk to the beach and spend the day and get trashed and then drive everybody home. And I thought I was really fun, but I realized I wasn't very fun, and he was getting really scared of me, and he was getting scared of all the things I was doing. And there was one particular time when he didn't come home with me after a party. The mom at the party like said, he's going to stay here if you're going to drive drunk. You're not going to kill your kid. And I came to the next morning, and the mirror was hanging off of my car. And I drive back over, and she's like, do you know how that happened? And I was like, yeah, I had no clue how that happened. And she's like, yeah, right. You know, and so this was the reputation I was getting. Nobody invited me over anymore. And I was like, well, screw you guys. I have more fun drinking alone anyway, you know? But alcohol just controlled every aspect of my life. I don't know how else to explain it, but I woke up in the morning, when can I drink? You know, I had wine in my car. I had booze in the locker at work. I would start to shake, and my coworker knew I was an alcoholic and was like, I think you need to take a break. And I was like, all right, thanks. You know, and I'd go to one of the stores in the mall. I worked at the mall, take two glasses of wine and come back to work and then go home and drink and pass out, and the freaking hamster wheel would start. And I knew I was an alcoholic. That wasn't the problem. It wasn't that I didn't know. I just didn't know what I could do about it. You know, I wanted to stop, but I couldn't stop. And so I was just like, screw it. This is my life, you know? But what happened was my son started to see my drinking and being mad. But he wasn't going to say anything to me because I was irritable. I was mean. You know, if I didn't have a drink, I'd snap at him and yell at him. And so he wasn't going to tell me, and he certainly wasn't going to tell his dad, because he knew his dad would be pissed and then I would be in trouble, and he didn't want to get me in trouble. So he went to his aunt, his safe space, and he went to grandma and grandpa. Well, over the few years, they did do a couple interventions on me, but somebody who doesn't have an alcohol problem trying to do an intervention on you doesn't help, because they don't understand. So you're just like, whatever. They take all your wine and you're just pissed because now you got to go to the store and refill, you know? So mad. And but the night that the shit hit the fan, as you would, they invited me over. We did family night a lot on Sundays. Very strange. We did. I was usually drunk. Everybody was drunk, but I was the one that was the most drunk eventually. And I had a bottle of wine. Like, this is my thought. Okay, we're going to go over there. They're kind of annoyed with my drinking, so I'm not going to drink too much. So I'm going to have a bottle of wine before I go. You know, started at noon. And then I better buy a bottle of wine on the way there, just in case she doesn't have any wine, because she's being kind of weird about me drinking too much. And so I get there, and I've already had a bottle of wine. I come in and she's like, we only have a half a bottle of wine, so just so you know. And I'm just like, brought my own, you know? And so, of course, the night goes, and it's not a good night. My sister's there, my son's there, my stepmom, my mom, and my sister. Apparently, we were playing Yahtzee, And I was just really obnoxious. I had six Yahtzees. How does that happen? And my nephew's like, can I get one? And I'm like, no, you little brat, get your own, you know? True story, I was terrible. Well, at one point, I was so obnoxious, I was told, my son and my sister and my my nephew went in the other room. My dad was passed out at this point, but he's a happy drunk. He just kind of falls asleep. And my stepmom's doing something, I don't know. And I say I want to leave, and my dad starts yelling at me, you're not leaving, you're not driving drunk. And I'm like, no, I'm not driving drunk, I'm going to call an Uber, okay? And he's like, you're not driving drunk, but he was drunk, so he didn't understand what I was trying to say. Like, I just want to go home, you know? And my stepmom comes out of the room, and she's like, starts yelling at me, and she's like, you're a terrible mother. I lean back. She's 5 foot, like 80 pounds, and I dynasty slap her across the face. And she is a tough girl, and she stumbles, but she doesn't go down. But she yells loud enough to wake my dad. Now, he's a bear, you know? So I got real sober real quick. And out of one ear, my dad's coming at me, and I'm scared shitless. And I hear my sister there at the door, the hallway, and my son's screaming, my sister's screaming, my nephew's crying. And my son and my nephew saw me slap their grandma, you know? And she's just yelling at me, get the F out of our house. So that was the beginning of the end. But this happened October 1st, 2016. My sobriety date's not till April 4th, 2017. So it didn't take, right? But what happened the next day was somehow I went to work, and by the end of the day, I was served with court papers because they had been waiting for this moment, and they told my ex, which we didn't have a great relationship. He was probably waiting for something to happen. And he took me to court to take my kid away from me. And I go to my lawyer, and I actually said, this is my divorce lawyer. So I went back to him, and I was like, I screwed up huge. You know, I'm drinking all the time. This is what happened. I'm scared to death. They're going to take Lorenzo from me. And I just told him the truth about everything. And he goes, well, I see the letters that your dad and your sister wrote. And yes, he's going to get taken away from you. They're not good. And I was like, I don't want to read them. He goes, I don't think you should ever read them. And I was just heartbroken. And the next day I was at court, and the judge was like, okay, you need to go to rehab. And you need to go to AA, and we're taking your son from you, and we'll reconvene in 2 months, you know, something like that. And I was just heartbroken and devastated, and I was pissed. And I was pissed at my sister, and I was pissed at my dad. How dare they freaking tell him and take my kid away from me? And I was like, I will never speak to you people again. You know, my sister was my best friend, and I was like, you're dead to me. And I actually didn't speak to them for 2 years. But what happened was I did the outpatient program, but I never got sober because I couldn't. I stayed sober for, I believe it was 8 days the first time, and I just couldn't not drink. I tried so hard, and I just could not drink. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to buy a breathalyzer on Amazon and then drink as much as I can to not be drunk in the morning when I go to the outpatient rehab so that they don't know I've been drinking. And I did that for 3 months and got away with it. I don't know how, but I did. And I got caught once. And I made up a big story, and they bought it, and because I didn't want to get kicked out, because then they'd tell the judge, right? So I'm really good at making up sob stories. I did that. And then I go to reunification. therapy with my son because it's been 2 months since I've seen him. Now, the holidays have all happened. It was, you know, November and December. I had no contact with my son. I hated my family. I wasn't speaking to them. But I did come to a few AA meetings. Wasn't in AA, but I had to come and get those things signed. And so I did come and get those things signed. And then somebody was nice enough to like say, hey, you're not doing anything on Thanksgiving. And they took me to an AA meeting. And I just sat in the corner and cried the whole night. So I didn't hear anything AA. I wasn't in AA, you know. And but I ended up having the reunification. And I hadn't seen him in 2 months. I got off work at 6 o'clock. And my appointment with her wasn't until 7:30. It was me the first time I see my kid. And court ordered, but they don't pay for it. I had to pay for that. And I'm sitting on my bed, and I can't not drink. And I'm like, I can't do this. I have an hour and a half to go. I can't not drink because I've been drinking this whole time, lying that I'm sober. And I took a glass of wine, and I did the breathalyzer, and I'm like, what, 0.08? No, 0.04. And I was like, okay, well, I can have one more. So, you know, I have one more. And then I'm 0.08. And I'm like, Amy, she's going to know you're drinking. You're not going to see your son. All this stuff's going on in my head. But the need to drink was stronger than that. And I couldn't understand it. And so I did everything in my power to make my breath really bad so that they wouldn't notice it. You know, I was eating garlic and everything. And somehow I got away with that too. You know, I saw him and he was crying and I was crying and the therapist thought I was like amazing and I've gotten sober and she's so happy. And she wrote a glowing recommendation for the courts. I got out of outpatient. The lady wrote a glowing recommendation for the courts. Here it's, you know, 2 months, 3 months later and I'm still drunk every night, you know, because as much as I love my kid, I just can't not drink. It's just, I can't. And I go to the court to actually talk to the judge. And mind you, I was a lot heavier back then. And I had the yellow eyes, bloated sausage fingers, because I'm drinking wine every single night, right? And everyone's reading these glowing recommendations. And she looks at me and she's like, so you've been sober all this time? And I'm like, yes. And she goes, okay. And she's like, you know, Mr. Santoro, my ex, do you trust her with your kid? And he's like, no, I know she's lying. I know she's drinking. And I'm like, you know, no, I'm not. And the judge goes, okay, so you'll be fine then if I just have you for the next 6 months blowing a breathalyzer every 8 hours, right? And I was like, whoa. I had to say, okay, yeah, no problem. But my heart stopped. You know, because now I have to choose between my kid and my wine, you know, and I want to say it's an easy decision, but it's not when you have no control and no power over drinking. But I just, you know, I wanted my kid back, you know, and I'm still not speaking to my parents. I'm still not speaking to anybody. And I remember the exact I had to go to work at noon, and the breathalyzer dude was going to call and set me up at 10, and it was like 9 o'clock, and I was like, oh, God, I have to take a shower, and then I have to call them, and this is like reality's hitting now, right? And this is April 4th, 2017, and I'm in the shower, and it comes to a point where I can't tell if it's my tears or the water, but I just break down sobbing my head off, and I'm just devastated, and you know, I do the alcoholic prayer to the God that I hate and turn my back on because he hates me and took my mother from me. And I'm just like, God, please help me get through this. I want Lorenzo back, you know? And I was like, I'll go to the meetings and I'll do this just until he's 18, you know? Then nobody can tell me how to live my life because nobody can threaten me to take my kid off because, you know. But I started the breathalyzer and I started going to the meetings and, you know, I went to Old Town Speakers meeting and I met that first night, I met Anne. Well, I didn't meet her. She wasn't there, but I got her phone number and I called her the next day and we started working the steps. And, you know, it was really hard because, you know, I wasn't with my son. I wasn't with my family. I'm trying not to drink, but I'm doing the steps and I'm blowing in the stupid breathalyzer every 8 hours. And my whole life was crashed around me, but I was like, I'm just going to do AA. I have nothing else to do. And I remember going to meetings, and when people would say God, I was just like, I just cry. Like, it was just like this pain in my heart. And because I was so angry, you know, I came to AA Joe resentful and angry, and my family turned their back on me, and I just felt so alone and so angry. And so every time I just sat in the meetings and just cried, because all you people just talked about freaking God all the time, you know? And I was just, you know, I was like, why? This was not supposed to be a religious program, and everybody's standing up, oh, I thank my God. And I would just cry, cry, cry. And, you know, then I remember doing step two, and, you know, step three. Step one and two came so easy for me, because I knew I was an alcoholic. I just wasn't going to admit it to anybody, but I knew I was an alcoholic. You know, and I was totally insane. I was completely delusional in the way that I drank and the things that I did and how I hid my alcohol. And alcohol, I later found, you know, it was my master. But I didn't have a problem with the God thing. I just didn't have a relationship. And I remember doing my work with Anne, and she had me write, you know, what God is to me. And then, you know, then she had me write a letter to God. And I remember, like, just crying my eyes out reading that, because I was just heartbroken. And but going through the steps, I slowly started, you know, to heal a little bit. But I'll tell you, when I got to step four, I was not talking to my sister or my dad again. Like, I will do anybody, anything. I will talk to anybody, but I hate them. They ruined my life. You know, I blamed everything on them. I wasn't taking any responsibility, and I was not speaking to them. And as far as I was concerned, they were dead to me. And I actually said in my head, it'd be better if they were just dead. And so about, gosh, how long ago? About a year after I was sober, I'm, you know, working the steps, but I'm still irritable and discontented because I haven't done my amends. And I get a phone call late at night. Actually, it wasn't a phone call, it was a text. My stepmom, who was an avid, you know, heavy drinker back then, and she said, your sister has, you know, her cancer came back, and she doesn't have long to live, and you should probably make up to her, because you've already lost all this time, you know? And I text my sister that night, and she called me the next morning crying her eyes out. And I was just like, I'm so sorry, you know? And I just, you know, I wasted all that time with that freaking feelings of just hating her and, you know, that, what is the word? Resentment, the biggest word in the world, that resentment, you know? And I lost a year and a half of my sister and my nephew. And she was like, I need you. And I need you to help me get through this. She didn't know it was terminal yet. She's like, I need you to help me get through this. And so that's when I met her, and I met my nephew again. And then I met my dad at lunch and did my amends to him. And he was like, I don't want to hear it. I'm so sorry. I never wanted that to happen. I didn't really want Lorenzo taken away. I just wanted you to quit drinking. We just wanted you back in our life, you know? Sorry. And they were like, we love you. We just want you back in the family, you know? But you were so angry, we just left you alone until you were ready to come back. So, sorry, I don't usually cry like this so much. Thank you. But, you know, it was really just the healing of AA, you know? And I slowly got back in the family, and I was able to get a leave of absence for my job, and I was able to move in with my sister and take care of her. You know, she was 42 and had a 11-year-old at the time, you know, and I had a 14-year-old, and it was really hard because we were with my mom when she passed. The two of us, we trauma bonded, you know, we were really close. And But I was so thankful because I had found a new home with you guys. And I got a toolbox. You know, I drank to numb my emotions. And when I got sober, I was like, I didn't know what to do with all these emotions. You know, like, what do you do with them? I never felt emotions. I just downed a bottle of wine so I didn't have to feel anything because I drank to black out. I drank to numb and not feel. I didn't want to feel anything ever. And otherwise, I was pissed and unhappy, you know? And so I had all these emotions and I would just go to meetings every day, you know? And I had an amazing sponsor and I had amazing friends that were there for me. And, you know, I was able to be a daughter. My dad couldn't handle it. And he just couldn't handle it. He was falling apart. And he thanked me for being there. He's like, I can't believe how strong you are. And I can't believe you're here doing all this. And like, I was the grown up in the room. You know, I hear people at this podium say that all the time. And it's like, it's so funny. Like, I was the only one that had it together. Everybody else was drinking heavily still, just losing it. And I was the grown up. And it was because of AA. And it was because of working the steps. And it was having a higher power in my life. And it was truly my higher power that got me through every single day of that. And my relationship with my son, I'll go back to when I got him back. He was just so happy. You know, I didn't have him for 6 months and I had supervised visitation. And then I slowly would get one night, you know, and then another night. And when he finally got to come home, he was just so happy. And we had done 4 reunification therapy sessions, which was amazing. And I got to make amends to him. And then I got, you know, and I make daily amends to him. Like, I will always make amends to him. He is my angel. And he's 22 now. And I swore at 8 when he turned 18, like, my plan was, he turns 18, I'm having the biggest party of my life. I'm going to get wasted and I'm going to tell everyone to F off. Like, that was my plan. And the closer he got to 18, I was already like 5 years sober and I was happy, you know? My life was good. My relationships were good. I lost my sister. That was one of the hardest things I'd ever gone through, but I was happy. You know, I had joy in my heart and I was working the steps and I was completely in the middle of the herd. And my relationship with my dad has not been easy. It's been one of the hardest ones to repair because he was my drinking dad and the only conversations we ever had together was when we were drinking. You know, I didn't grow up with him. I grew up with my mom. And, you know, people say, oh, when you get sober, you go back to the family. Well, it had to become a new family because I didn't know how to talk to my dad, you know, and it's been 9 years. And I will tell you, last year I went for Thanksgiving and it was like the first year that I felt like normal. And I was like, okay, I don't have that anxiety and that weird feeling anymore. Like, it's slowly dissipated because, you know, I do my prayers and I'm doing the program and I'm just doing everything that, you know, my sponsor's telling me to do, you know? And I just have those tools to fix those relationships. And I'm just trying to be a really good daughter now, you know? And I'm trying to be an example to my kid. He's actually turned into the example to me. He is just amazing. And he's 22 and he's just so proud of me. He does get a little worried. I shared with with Anne, I was talking to him last night and he was asking me about my migraines because I get them sometimes. And I told him I got a new medication and he was all quiet. He goes, is it an opiate? And I was like, no, honey, it's not an opiate. So I know there's still a little fear in him because I drank for so long, you know? But he loves that I go to meetings and he knows I'm speaking tonight and he's happy that I'm here. And our relationship is amazing. And then about being sober, like, how do I stay in my daily life? it's not easy. I'm going through some more family stuff right now with my nephew and my brother-in-law. And, you know, the more I'm sober, I don't want to have discord with people. I want to be peaceful. I want to be happy. And when something's not right or I do something, it really eats at me now, you know? And before I could care less, you know, I just would write you off, not talk to you, block your number, done, you know? And now it's like just eating and eating. And I'm like, okay, well, I have the 10th step to do. You know, I need to do my inventory. I need to talk about it. And then I need to write a plan of action. And I'm like, this is such a silly way to live, but it's such a genius way to live. You know, I just have to do my homework. So now, you know, I'm saying the resentment prayer and I'm saying the acceptance prayer. And I'm working through that those trials and trying to rectify a little issue that happened with them, you know? So if you're new, it's not easy, you know? Life still happens and you don't have anything to numb yourself anymore except for your relationship with your higher power and, you know, the fellowship of AA. But I found that that's all I need. And I just get more and more inspired every day, waking up and, you know, doing the same thing I've always done, thanking God for another day of sobriety, saying my prayer, writing my gratitude list. Now, all these things I don't do perfectly and I don't do them every day, but it's a work in progress and I try really hard. And and I have to tell my sponsor I haven't been doing it and, you know, get back on track. But that's just the way I live now. I live my life, you know, in the book, doing my gratitude, having my higher power, and just trying to be present with my family, live a happy, joyous, and peaceful and serene life, which is, that's what AA has given me. If AA has given me peace in my heart and a relationship back with my family and my son, and basically just given me like a roadmap of living. And so I'll end with that and just say thank you for listening, and I'm grateful to be sober, and I'm so grateful to be here with you guys.